back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Bill Martinez here. We got Bruce Thatcher coming up in just a few seconds, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Isn't it just like the Democrats, they offer to be there, you know, they want to be there from birth, to the grave, with all these entitlements and everything, and typical of the Democrats, they'll cut you off at the ankles. I mean, they just decide, I've got to take a break. Eviction? No big problem. I mean, we'll work it out. Whatever, we'll just let the chips fall as they're going to fall. Meanwhile, you got real people that are having to deal with evictions because Congress just didn't want to do their job. And even AOC had to say that, look, this is on us. This is the Democrats. We've got the majority. We just failed to act. And now you've got Cori Bush. She's, I guess, spending the night there on the Capitol steps, to make her point and to really call her party on account of people who were conditioned to rely on the Democrats. But again, this is what the Democrats do. They build you up, Buttercup, and then they can't deliver. Bruce Thatcher is with us from History Speaks. Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, and I've been listening with very interest to your previous guest, Bob Edelman, talking about some of these same things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here it is. All this stuff is a ruse anyway. I mean, in a sense that they use the people's money. And, whether it's to quiet the people with what they're doing, what the Justice Department is doing in quieting these, Maricopa and threatening these civil servants who are there, offering their services out of the goodness. They're not on a payroll here, Bruce. They're just doing it for the sake of their civic duty. And now they're being threatened by the Justice Department, much the same way as I think in many cases, if the truth be known, where these people who are incarcerated, some 500 American citizens, some broke the law, but not all 500 broke the law. We're talking a very small percentage, but some are being held in, solitary confinement. I mean, this is something that should be outlawed, that should not even happen, that somebody be put in solitary confinement, much less somebody who was there at the Capitol, and which I still don't understand because I'm doing the numbers on this. And I don't know if you looked at it, but we had supposedly they said there's 2,500 Capitol police that surround the Capitol. But in that day, there was something like only 800. And the report was there was about 500 civilians, unarmed civilians, who went into the Capitol, some by invitation. We don't know what that exact number was, but we even saw it on video. They were invited to come into the Capitol. So there wasn't a quote-unquote breach and a storming of it. Maybe in some cases that was the case, but not 100%. But when you talk about the odds, 800 of armed police officers not able to hold back 500, what happened?
Well, ask the question, what do you mean by not able? What really has occurred in terms of not able?
Right.
As you just pointed out, in many cases they actually opened doors for them, invited them in, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there, but strikes me as we're talking here is, excuse me, is compare how we're treating those American citizens with what's going on at the southern border.
Exactly.
And the people that we're dealing with at the southern border are not American citizens. They're not in the country legally. It's just incredible. And we're literally inviting them in. We're inviting in, and some just as at the Capitol, some are people who have committed crimes and people who are committing crimes and people who intend to commit crimes. That's probably a very small part, percent of all the people who are coming in, but we're inviting them all in.
Yeah, this
we
is
are
right.
It's them in.
Yeah, it's Russian roulette in a sense,
yeah.
Isn't it? And not only that, but the other thing is we're still dealing with a pandemic, right? And then we've got this recent outbreak that's going on and talking about remasking and let's go ahead and have more lockdowns again, another phase of it. And meanwhile, our southern border is wide open and the Border Patrol is saying, we got people who are infected with COVID here.
We have Border Patrol officers who have been infected by it from the people who are coming in. I don't know what the numbers are, but people are coming in mm-hmm. Who are carrying the COVID virus, mm-hmm. and they're not even being checked for it.
No, exactly. And let me ask you this. I mean, I know this sounds a bit conspiratorial, but again, not letting any good crisis go to waste here. Here we've got human viral missiles at our border that are being sent into the interior by plane, train, automobile, military transport, other means into the depth. Wouldn't it be, and this is the conspiratorial end, so you have to put up with me and just pray for me, but my mind just happens to go there because there's so much diabolical stuff that's been happening in the body politic lately. I wouldn't put it past them. If Joe Biden is saying, okay, hey, make sure you dump those into the red states. Let's infect Florida. Let's go after Texas. Let's go after the states that haven't been complying, and let's load them up with these infected illegal aliens. Is that too far-fetched?
I don't know whether it's too far-fetched or not. It is one of the possibilities. It is one of the possibilities, and even if it isn't as direct as all that, it could be, let's load up these states with these undocumented citizens, non-citizens, and yeah, we know some of them are carrying coronavirus. Well, that's just the way it is. Too mm-hmm. bad for them.
Right.
I don't know whether it's a conscious or a defined conspiracy, but I suspect that it's a consideration that doesn't bother any of the people who are making the policy to distribute the the illegals.
Right.
And so, forgive me for using that term, but that's what they are.
You only have to ask the president for forgiveness because he's the one that has rewritten that and wanted to take illegal alien out of the lexicon, right? In his administration, he says we will no longer use the term illegal when we're talking about immigrants coming in illegal,
that,
right?
Yeah, he said that way back at the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use it anymore, and he sent a bill to Congress that stripped that term out of mm-hmm. everything. Hasn't been passed yet.
Yeah, but Democrats being what they do, forget about the law. They're acting on it. I mean, this is 70 years, as you wrote about, 70 years of precedent. I mean, this is a law. You know, illegal aliens are defined and codified
in the 1952 Immigration and Nationality Act. That's right. That is the legal term.
Yes.
And the only place is the Biden administration's order to the immigration judges that came out a couple of weeks ago and directed them to stop using the term illegal alien did have one caveat, which says when you're writing an actual legal opinion or legal document about it, you will have to use the term illegal alien because that's the law.
Mm-hmm.
But in everything else, in all communication about it, the immigration judges are now barred from mm-hmm. using the term illegal alien. They got to use these euphemisms like undocumented individual or undocumented non-citizen. You know, the longer terms that intend to modify the fact of what's going on.
Well, because the narrative overwhelms the truth. This is what's been happening all along. Before you know it, people believe that to be the case because that's what they hear on TV. That's what they read in social media. That's what they hear the President of the United States saying. I mean, there's an abandonment of codified law and reference. And then all of a sudden, we're becoming a nation run by narrative and opinion.
Here we go back to the...
Got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there. More from Bruce Thatcher after this. Hey, welcome back. Happy Monday. Bill Martinez here. A brand new month, August the 2nd already. Can you believe it? Wow. It is flying by. Before you know it, the midterms will be here. I know. I heard the hallelujah in the background. Everybody's going, hallelujah, midterms. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. You know, Bruce Thatcher is with us. He's the founder of History Speaks, immigration expert and author. I got to tell you, this is the definitive book on immigration, in my humble opinion. And you, if you don't have this in your library and you haven't read it, you need to, because it will give you an understanding, a clear understanding of all the things that America has been doing that are right, some of the things that are bad, especially right now. The title of the book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Clearly, what the Biden administration is doing, Bruce Thatcher, right now, it's not working. I mean, even their own party members are going, Joe, come on, buddy. Let's get on this. You can't just leave the border open. I mean, all the stuff we're doing, there's nothing good coming of this, you know, letting people come in, MS-13, gang members, people with COVID. Here we are, this good nation of the light on the hill here that is now becoming, you know, the epicenter for human trafficking. Is that disgusting or what?
It is disgusting, and I'll get, let me get back to the book. The subtitle of the book is "How to Make It Work."
Yes,
and our immigration policy, our current non-policy, does not work because it doesn't follow the things that would make immigration work. It follows every little political nuance that somebody wants to play into it, and they only address the edges of the problem. Part of the edges of the problem is what they've done with language as it relates to immigration, but that's only one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden administration has submitted, and I saw it in the news, a comprehensive plan for immigration reform, and I read through it. There's nothing comprehensive about it. Mm-hmm. It addresses only some of the most charged political issues of the moment,
mm-hmm.
and absolutely ignores the really tough things, and you can see it in what they issue to Congress. And it isn't just been the Biden administration. This has been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But Bruce, let me interject this for just a moment. With all due respect, the word comprehensive and Joe Biden somehow I cannot put together. I know, you know, it's worth a chuckle, but still, I mean, seriously, comprehensive in Joe Biden, you know, just doesn't work in the same sentence.
Well, I'll go on with you there, and I think comprehension and current elected senators and representatives doesn't go together, because, you referred to it early, all of them are interested in only one thing,
mm-hmm.
re-election.
Right.
So that means their total scope of interest is either until the next election, which is maybe only a year away for some of them right now.
Exactly.
So that's all they're interested in dealing with. And as a result, we get all these short-term things that they believe, mm-hmm. will increase the votes that they will get. And then they walk away from the consequences of what
right.
they do.
Well, like Bob Adelman was saying, you know, in terms of what has happened here, and I think that Donald Trump really ignited and was the catalyst for this, and that is the idea, and we've been talking about this all along, is that he's been an exposing catalyst. And listen to what Nancy Pelosi had to say about Democrats and even Republicans regarding the January 6th, special committee hearing, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was like, look at it, if you don't behave yourself, you got consequences coming your way. Excuse me?
That's right.
Excuse me?
You're really investigate what you've got an outcome already determined from the report, and so don't interfere.
Right. Well,
I attended a Republican convention in Illinois, state convention, as a representative to it, was my introduction to how party politics works. Mm-hmm. And I was astounded that I and nobody else had any voice at all. I mean, everything was decided.
Yes.
And determined in advance. And that's what's going on here. And if you think that anybody is going to really, at the top levels, is going to really do anything about having concise language and cleaning things up or trying to get things done, you're going to be disappointed.
Exactly.
Donald Trump. Look at the arrests at the border, mm-hmm. apprehensions at the border. It had declined to historic lows by the end of the Trump administration. And within 1 month, it zipped up. And within 2 or 3 months, it is now at historic highs.
I like how Jim Jordan framed it, Bruce. He said, March was a record number for arrest until April. And yeah. April was the number until May. May was the number until June. It's been climbing, to your point, every month.
I mean, it's, when you put it on a graph, it's just incredible. You think,
yes.
This is going to hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it is, because the message being delivered by this administration is, come on in.
Yes.
And so people, not just people from middle Central American countries, people from all over the world are now coming through that route mm-hmm. and joining those groups and just walking across the border. You can't get in. That citizens cannot get in that easily mm-hmm. from Canada or Mexico.
Exactly.
But non-citizens,
yeah.
There I go,
yeah.
aliens can come in illegally and they
and
are
be rewarded.
Well,
and be rewarded,
yeah, rewarded
for it.
Right?
Yeah, sure. People do that which they get rewarded for. And right now, Joe Biden has the Treasury wide open, he and Nancy Pelosi, and they're handing out free money. So here it is. Who wouldn't want to come here? And then you wonder, okay, to what purpose? Well, the purpose, obviously, is not to uphold this democratic republic. It's to utterly destroy it from the inside out. This is what's going on. And you may think, you go, wait a minute, don't the Democrats want to have something at the end of the day? Oh, they
do.
They do. They think they do. But let me tell you what. There were people just like them in Cuba that thought at the end of the day they were going to have something. And what did they end up with?
Oh, yes. And then... In a dozen other countries, too.
Exactly.
The same process. Not only currently, but historically. Or I should say not only historically, but currently.
Mm-hmm.
Same things going on. And when I think about what we can do as citizens about it, I have to go down to the local level. And mm-hmm. I say, what you do, you can operate and function on the local level effectively.
Exactly.
And when you see these things going on in the schools, when you hear the terminology going on social media and all this stuff, you need to confront it.
Yes.
You need to confront it.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up a right point. That's where it begins. This is where the power, where change can really happen at a local level. Local is most effective. I agree with you. And you know, because people say, well, where do I start? Start in your neighborhood. First of all, start with yourself, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, take an inventory of yourself. Ask yourself some critical questions and then ask, is your city, is your community lining up with the values and that you believe that this country should believe in? And then you'll take on those obvious issues, whether it's critical race theory or social injustice or whatever it is, and go be a champion for that at the local level. Go be that change that you want to see in, you want to see in others. And go be the example first, and you'd be surprised what happens and how quickly it happens. If you go after it at a federal level, the system, like you say, is so locked in. It's every two, every 4 years. The paradigm is so locked in by the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi. And look at just in California alone for the last 80 years, I'm told there have been four families that have controlled that state for 80 years. What does
That's
that
right.
tell you?
Yeah.
And how many other states are the same way that are controlled by families, you know, if you want to call them local czars or whatever the name you want to use for them, right? I mean,
that's right.
Just the nature of it.
But it is, and again, as you say, it is at the local level where you can exercise some power. You can call a teacher to account who's not teaching correct history. And I don't mean by correct, I don't mean ideologically correct, I mean correct.
Mm-hmm.
You can call a teacher to account for demanding that students not use certain words or give them bad grades when they write a paper on the wrong subject. You can call them to account, and you can be effective. You can absolutely be effective at the local level.
You'd be surprised, and this is what's happening. I mean, look at the mother bears. You know, we say the mother bears, but also there's some father bears that are getting in line, too, and they're seeing that change can happen at the local level, and they're coming after these, you know, these ideological school board members and putting pressure on this whole CRT thing. It's not going to be an easy walk in the park, and as if that's not enough, and then you got that other other idea, that other reform deal that was in Joe Biden's policy book, you know, about what the abolishment, what was it? What was the name? Oh, gosh. My name, all of a sudden, it left me for just a moment. I'll pick it up here in just a minute. But anyway, that was, oh, accidentally left in there. Are you kidding me? How was that accidentally left in there?
I know what you're talking about now, but it is everybody in America who is unhappy with all this needs to remember that it started in the local schools
exactly
50, 60, 70 years ago, and that's the only way it's really going to be fixed.
Yeah, that was the Abolitionist Teaching Network. I knew it would come to mind sooner or later here, Bruce, so forgive me. Again, Bruce's book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils, Make It Work. This will be quite the enlightenment for you and help you understand what is going on. He is the founder of History Speaks. Thank you, Bruce Thatcher, as always. Right. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye.